We never thought our house would be on fire. The fire was far away, but suddenly I saw a fire burning behind us.
The VOA visits burned Rohingya camp. It's Friday, March 26th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, wading through massive floods, NATO's renewed mission, securing food, controlling guns, and letting out your rage. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A massive fire inside a Rohingya refugee camp in Bangladesh has left at least 15 dead and nearly 50,000 homeless. VOA's Muazzam Hassan Shakil gives us an inside look in this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
The fire erupted on Monday inside a Cox's Bazar refugee camp in southern Bangladesh, quickly spreading and destroying about 10,000 shanties before the blaze was contained. UN officials say at least 15 residents died and nearly 50,000 lost their homes. In a chaotic scene after the fire, thousands of Rohingyas searched for missing relatives in the ravaged Balikali refugee camp. Authorities said it was not immediately clear how the fire started, but they say it spread quickly due to strong winds and the presence of cooking gas cylinders. A committee has been formed to investigate.
Inquiry committee.
We formed a 7-member inquiry committee comprising the Rohingya Repatriation Commission, police representatives, fire services, and district administration. So far, we have not received any information. They will report to us in 3 days, and then we will be able to understand what happened.
We have received various kinds of complaints about the fire. We are investigating those complaints.
On Wednesday, Bangladesh's Home Minister Asaduzzaman Khan Kamal visited the camp and assured the media that justice will be served.
Two inquiry committee reports will come to us soon. We will see if anyone is responsible for this or any negligence or sabotage has occurred. We will certainly punish according to law.
Eyewitnesses say there were multiple fires in different parts of the camp, leading some to speculate that the fire was intentionally set.
We saw fire in Block C. It was a far away. Then I saw another fire in Block C and another in C18. So the fire was started from all sides of our camp.
How did the fire get here from far away? I do not understand it. We never thought our house would be on fire. The fire was far away, but suddenly I saw a fire burning behind us. Everything burned like this.
Rohingyas arrested several youths and handed them over to the police, who are interrogating them in connection with the fire. Nearly 500,000 Rohingyas are receiving humanitarian services in Cox's Bazar, which is a highly dense refugee camp with shanties covered in dry wood. The latest fire comes after a January blaze caused by gas cylinders that destroyed nearly 550 shanties. For Muazzam Hussain Shakil in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
There's much more as this story continues to develop. We invite you to follow our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and stop by our website at voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. North Korea fires 2 ballistic missiles. Anti-coup protests resume in Myanmar. Hong Kong vaccination drive struggles to gain public trust. Facebook finds Chinese hacking operation targeting Uyghurs. India migrants who fled cities during lockdown return to altered reality. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. A huge flood recovery operation is currently underway in eastern Australia as overflowing rivers continue to threaten homes. Two people have died. Thousands of others have been forced from their homes, as we hear from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
Officials say two men were killed after being caught in floodwaters in the states of Queensland and New South Wales. Near Sydney, the body of a 25-year-old man from Pakistan was found inside a submerged car. Detective Inspector Chris Laird says the man called emergency services to say his vehicle was sinking before contact with him was lost.
A man that is possibly about to pass away, and he's on the phone and the water's rising. Given what I've seen of the damage to the vehicle, it could very well be that the electrics totally failed and he was simply unable to escape from the car, which is an absolute tragedy.
The military is being brought in to help communities recover from some of the worst flooding Australia has seen in decades. Thousands of homes have been affected and many roads, bridges and rail lines damaged. Resident Angela Stewart was forced to leave her home north of Sydney. She told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation the floods are the latest disaster to strike her community.
This is Australia, isn't it? We had all the bushfires within about 3 kilometres of our house last year. We thought this is the safest place to be during the COVID-19 pandemic. But then, you know, life has a tendency to equalise things out, doesn't it?
The torrential rain has eased across New South Wales, although some thunderstorms were forecast Thursday, and the flood risk is expected to continue into the weekend. Dozens of schools remain closed. On Wednesday, a group of campers was rescued by a military helicopter after roads were cut by floodwaters. Thousands of residents are being allowed to return to their homes to survey the damage from some of Australia's wildest storms in years. Several communities remain cut off by the flood waters, and supplies are being delivered by boat and helicopter. Australia is a land experienced with nature's extremes, but some of the downpours in recent days have been described as a once-in-a-century weather event. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, the torch relay for the postponed Tokyo Olympics began its 121-day journey across Japan Thursday, and it's headed toward the opening ceremony in Tokyo to be held July 23rd. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're so glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. We hope you're enjoying your Friday. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirmed America's commitment to NATO as he sought to strengthen the transatlantic relationship in a two-day summit this week in Brussels. As Henry Ridgewell reports, a broad agenda included the growing threat posed by China.
A new chapter in transatlantic relations. 4 years ago, then U.S. President Donald Trump called NATO obsolete. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told allies he was seeking to rebuild trust.
You have our unshakable vow. America is fully committed to NATO, including Article 5.
Blinken outlined the military threats facing the alliance.
Beijing's military ambitions are growing by the year. Coupled with the realities of modern technology, the challenges that once seemed half a world away are no longer remote. We also see this in the new military capabilities and strategies Russia has developed to challenge our alliances and undermine the rules-based order that ensures our collective security.
NATO's Secretary General welcomed the U.S. commitment and warned of the dangers facing the alliance.
Russia continues to deploy new and destabilizing nuclear weapons. We need agreements that cover more weapons and more nations like China.
China's rise poses a relatively new challenge for NATO, says analyst Simona Saw.
It's not about NATO moving into the Indo-Pacific, but rather being more aware and more prepared to tackle China, potential negative consequences of Chinese presence in Europe. And what this means is, of course, more awareness of foreign direct investment, that could target potentially strategic technologies or critical infrastructure.
Secretary Blinken said the U.S. still expects European allies to meet defense spending targets. He said NATO must evolve to counter emerging threats, including disinformation, cyber attacks, climate change, and the coronavirus pandemic. NATO's mission in Afghanistan also featured, with US troops set to withdraw by May 1st under a peace deal signed with the Taliban. Blinken said the situation is under review. Despite harmonious words, there are internal tensions in NATO. Blinken urged Turkey to drop its purchase of a Russian S-400 air defense system. Turkey said the deal is done. He also made clear U.S. opposition to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that would bring Russian gas directly to Germany. And despite the hawkish tone against China, the European Union is finalizing a trade agreement with Beijing.
We know that our allies have complex relationships with China that won't always align perfectly. But we need to navigate these challenges together. That means working with our allies to close the gaps in areas like technology and infrastructure, where Beijing is exploiting to exert coercive pressure.
Meeting top European Union officials Wednesday, Blinken said the EU was the United States' partner of first resort. His words have been warmly welcomed, but analysts say the test of the new transatlantic relationship is yet to come as the alliance faces up to threats on multiple fronts. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
North Korea conducted an apparent short-range ballistic missile test early Thursday, its first such launch during U.S. President Joe Biden's administration. South Korea's Ministry of National Defense said the two projectiles traveled 450 kilometers at an altitude of 60 kilometers. Captain Mike Kafka, Public Affairs Officer for U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, said in a statement that officials were aware of the launches and were monitoring the situation. This is North Korea's first ballistic missile test in about a year, although it has more recently fired smaller projectiles. On Sunday, the North launched two cruise missiles from its western coast. U.S. officials downplayed the importance of that launch, saying it was part of North Korea's normal military tests. The launches come as the Biden administration is in the final stages of its North Korea policy review and has repeatedly spoken of its desire to renew diplomacy with the North.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. The International Monetary Fund says it has approved a $500 million disbursement to Pakistan for budget support after the IMF Executive Board completed delayed reviews of Pakistan's $6 billion loan program. The IMF says $2 billion have been sent since the program approval in 2019. All the big stories come throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization is warning of growing hunger and the loss of lives and livelihoods if nations do not find ways to reduce the impact of natural disasters on global agri-food systems. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Natural disasters and extreme weather events are increasing in frequency and intensity. A new report by the Food and Agriculture Organization says the world's agri-food systems are being confronted with unprecedented threats. They include megafires, long-lasting droughts, floods, unusually large desert locust swarms, and emerging biological threats such as the COVID-19 pandemic. The UN agency's report notes the annual occurrence of natural disasters is now three times more than it was in the 1970s and 80s. FAO chief economist Maximo Torero says the surge of natural disasters is having a devastating impact on agriculture and livelihoods and inflicting severe economic damage.
We found that drought turns out to be the most destructive force for agriculture. Drought causes an estimate of $37 billion in crop and livestock production loss in 2008 and 2018 period in the least developed countries and low middle income countries. Floods and storms are the next more relevant cause of loss on agriculture.
During the same period, Torero says the impact of disasters cost the agricultural sectors of developing countries more than $108 billion in lost crop and livestock production. He says Asia was hardest hit, followed by Africa and Latin America and the Caribbean. The FAO reports 2.5 billion people, about 60% in developing countries, depend on agriculture for their daily food, their income, and their survival. It warns fragile societies will experience greater food insecurity and increased destitution if they fail to invest in disaster prevention measures. The director of the FAO Liaison Office in Geneva, Dominique Bergeon, says early warning systems and risk reduction strategies can prevent a threat from turning into a disaster. For example, he says UN agencies acted early to control a swarm of locusts that was threatening to destroy the crop in East Africa.
The result is that we have avoided the crop losses for a value of 4 million tons of crops have been avoided in terms of losses. This is enough to feed about 34 million people in the Horn of Africa and Yemen, worth a value of about $1.5 billion.
Bergeon says smart investments will pay great dividends. He says investing $1 in good practices will result in a saving of $3.70 in avoiding crop losses. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Making headlines in Asia, North Korea conducted an apparent short-range ballistic missile test early Thursday, its first such launch during U.S. President Joe Biden's administration. The North fired two ballistic missiles that fell outside Japan's waters, according to Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, U.S. President Joe Biden is urging Congress to pass tighter gun laws following two mass shootings in Georgia and Colorado. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has a look.
Following a mass shooting in a supermarket in Boulder, Colorado, just days after deadly shootings at three spas in Atlanta, Georgia, flags are again lowered at the White House to honor the victims. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden urged Congress to immediately act to tighten America's gun laws that are among the least restrictive in the world's advanced democracies.
We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again.
The 10-year assault weapons ban was passed by Congress in 1994, expired in 2004, and has not been renewed due to fierce Republican opposition. A sharp partisan divide on the issue remains, as evidenced by a Senate hearing on gun control Tuesday.
What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens, because that's their political objective.
Biden also urged the Senate to pass bills aimed at expanding background checks for gun owners that Democrats recently passed in the House of Representatives.
Expanded background checks. Extreme risk laws to prevent suicides, mass shootings, and hate crimes. Protecting domestic violence victims and safe storage standards. These kinds of measures are within our reach.
While Biden campaigned on ending gun violence, it is unclear how much political capital he can spend on the issue when he has other legislative priorities, including a $3 trillion infrastructure plan and immigration reform. Previous Democratic presidents have tried and failed to pass tighter gun laws, including Barack Obama, following the 2012 school shooting that killed 27 people, including 20 children. The right to own firearms is protected by the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. With a strong pro-gun lobby, it has been difficult to pass laws restricting them.
If anything was going to make it through, I think it would be requiring universal background checks for the transfer of firearms, closing loopholes that are based on the internet or other kinds of loopholes that exist in the current background check system.
Americans own roughly 45% of all the world's civilian firearms, about 120 guns for every 100 residents. The country also has the highest rate of gun deaths, almost 40,000 in 2019, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Pat Siwida Kuswara, VOA News.
Releasing built-up emotions can be an important part of self-care and maintaining overall emotional health. Marcia James visits a rage room where built-up frustrations can be released on unsuspecting objects. Sean Estelle co-owns Rage Room and interacts with several customers.
This is what we do at the Room of Rage. After a hard day, I like to come to the Rage Room and let off some steam.
Yeah, so this is my first time I'm here because my boyfriend bought tickets, so we just want to try something different.
I decided to come out here, you know, to release some aggression, you know, smash some items, and go from there.
So you don't hit down on the table, but you can hit off of the table. 20 minutes on the clock. These two items right here are sledgehammer items, okay?
Yes, definitely. It was definitely a great experience. Had fun knocking things out of the park, you know, bottles, washing machines, refrigerators. Yeah, it was definitely a great experience. I would definitely come back.
Jamal Berry is co-owner of Rage Room.
So this is the process every weekend when we come in. We basically have to get the old stuff out until we can recycle it. We try to recycle it and recycle the metal, but we have to take it out, get it outside, cover it up so it looks nice, and then we get new materials that are donated inside the room. During the pandemic, we had a lot of conversations, especially when everything first shut down, and we started to think about people needed to be able to get out their rage. They needed to be able to come to a place in a safe environment and be able to get out their anger or just decompress from the long work days in their house, the now being teachers of their own children, even to thinking about everything that's going on in the country and how they felt. And so we said, what better way to have a safe environment inside of four walls that was healthy and that they didn't have to do the cleaning up themselves? We did it for them.
It's my first time here. It's for my birthday celebration, and just because I wanted to break some stuff, and I had an excuse to do it.
Right now we're at about 25 appointments today, which is pretty much around our average on a Saturday. All right, one of the things that we're proud about is our artwork. If you can see around that, we really took the time to think about different things that would generate a feeling of rage or excitement for our customers. And we have, you know, this nice brick wall that they can throw items against.
I mean, I would say it's all up to the person. If people kind of get tired of doing the same thing, just normal exercising, running on a treadmill, walking outside, if you want something different that, you know, is out of the box, then this would be probably a good idea. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to get hurt.
Sean Estelle and Jamal Berry, co-owners of Rage Room, in their own words, along with some of their customers. We thank VOA's Marcia James for visiting Rage Room and sharing their comments. That's all the time we have for today's program. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank those who contribute to our program, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.